We will be on number, I believe it's 9, yep, page number 74. And if you don't have a book, I went ahead and printed off some pages. Do you have your book? You forgot it. Every Sunday morning, yep. But I'll give you this. That's just a handout with the same pages. You need a handout? I knew it. You need one? You got yours. Thank you. You got your book? What? You wanted that thing so bad, you got to bring it. amen. Okay.
So, just FYI.
Yes.
The job, they're fighting over him.
They are?
First and second shift are fighting over him.
Good. So they are looking at possibly.
They're going to hire him, but I'm not going to be there for the first year. They're fighting over you.
Good. You good on yours? Thank you. Good students. Yes. You guys get up there.
I can't.
That's good that someone's fighting over you. That's a blessing. Amen. I want them. No, I want them.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what they're doing.
Help first shift to win out. Could you do that? Oh, because you're on second shift. Yeah. Well, call me selfish. I just like to see them at church. Amen. Yeah, when you talk about just needs there in someone's life, I mean, that spiritual need's definitely important. The physical component's huge, but I praise the Lord for Antoine. He's been a blessing. He's been doing some work down there at the creek a little bit for us. If he sells some stuff getting cut down, Ned has been an eyesore for a while, and so he's been around and helping, and praise the Lord. I thank you for that. Amen. And very good. And he's putting up with me. Dana knows what that's like.
We know he can have the run of the mouth sometimes. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Just don't give me a reason to run into mouth and we're good. Amen. 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 And yep, good godly pressure is needed at times. Amen. Amen. So no, it's good. It's been a blessing. And I count it a privilege. Amen. All right. Number 9 in our book. And what we're looking at is we are on page number 74. And what we're looking at here, and we've been going through in the book, is keys to understanding the Bible, because the reality is that a lot of people read their Bible, but they never understand what they're reading, right? Or they kind of understand, but it's more natural than it is spiritual. And the Bible, remember, is a spiritually discerned book, right? If all we get from the Bible is what man can teach, then we're missing it, right? Because the Bible has a whole lot more to it. Actually, there's a mystery side, right? And what unlocks the mysteries of the Word of God is the Spirit of God, right? And so we have to approach the Bible from that spiritual standpoint, and that way we can understand the spiritual intent of it as God leads us. So we're kind of going through that. We're on number 9, so there's 8 things we've already covered. We've covered a bunch of those things, and it's really, really, really good stuff. And although we've not got into the nitty-gritty of how to study, this right here, this section is so important. We saw why study. We saw a lot of reasons why we should study already in the previous chapter. And in this chapter is just understanding what it takes to grasp the Word of God. And if you come at it casually, if you come at it haphazardly, if you come at it busy, no time, whatever, I'm telling you, you're not going to get it, right? You're not going to get it. You know how when you go into your prayer closet and you pray, that first minute or two when you're praying, you're not accomplishing much. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot about what prayer is God getting us in the heart and mindset to pray, right? And so we might throw a lot of quick help me God prayers up, and that's fine, and God hears those for sure. But that true engagement with God in prayer, which all of us struggle with at times because we're so busy, we got so many things going on, but it just takes that time. And you can imagine how appreciative, in a sense, God is when we get to that level of prayer, right? Because it means that He's important to us, right? Yes.
I know it's great to listen to your Bible and stuff while you're doing stuff, but you need to set a time, like time to really study, because imagine, if you will, like, your wife says, hey, I got something really important to tell you. You're like, yeah, come with me while I do all kinds of other stuff. It's the same thing with the Word of God. It's like you can get some surface level from it, just listening while you're doing things, but you really got to take time to focus on it.
Put everything else away and just focus there on that one. So important. we've been dealing with two messages now as of recent on meditation, one in this class on Wednesday. And that goes back to that meditation where, yeah, reading's good, listening's good, study's good, but ultimately we need to think on it, right? That's what meditation is that I'm going to think on the Word of God, right? I'm going to apply that. And very, very, very important. Amen. And so now, number nine, we're going to build on that. This is just getting gooder and gooder, amen. And look if you will, let's see. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll go through the first little bit of this, and then we'll jump over to some other passages that aren't on there that you can jot down, and we'll study this a little bit. So number nine says, understanding the Bible requires patience and persistence. Now, this verse isn't there, but there is a verse in the Old Testament that says that basically when we study God, we're applying God's things. It's here a little, there a little. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, right? And you go back to, God talks about building a structure in our lives, right? And when you build a structure, there's an order to it. And you may want to build the roof first. But you might want to build the foundation first and some walls before you start building the roof, right? And so the roof is good because it really does protect us, and it seals us from the elements, and it does so many things. And a lot of people, that's just one of them analogies that just popped in. I'm telling you, I'm just thinking through it right now. That is a good analogy because a lot of people want all the blessings of Christianity, but they don't want that groundwork side that was used to support those blessings. Does that make sense? The best way to understand the word understanding is when I understand the concepts of the Word of God, it means I'm able to stand under them and support them like a pillar, all right? If on our porch we have those white pillars, those are actually just a facade. There's actually a steel house jacks in there that are surrounded by that pillar, but nonetheless, there's still a pillar, right? And what that pillar does is it supports that whole structure out there that that is like an awning. It's just a roof structure over the porch, right? If those pillars weren't there, that structure would fall. It wouldn't be able to stand, and we wouldn't be able to gain the blessings of it being there. Well, a key to understanding the Bible is that you're able to understand the first things, the base concepts of the Word of God. The first thing you need to understand is salvation. You say, oh, I understand it. I would say this, if you think you understand salvation, then you ought to be able to explain it to me. You explain to me the ins and outs and why. Why salvation? Why only Jesus? What's the true issue of salvation? Is there salvation in one way or many ways? What are those ways? Why is it that way, right? And on and on and on and on. And what happens if we don't get it, right? If you really understand salvation, that means you're able to support it. And you can support it verbally through understanding, and you can articulate what it really means. And if you don't, I would say this. You shouldn't go to any other doctrine until you understand salvation. The gospel, which is the means by which salvation actually comes to us, is the foundation for every teaching in the Word of God. It's foundational. Foundational. And so that's where we start. Amen? You can't even understand baptism until you understand salvation. You can't even understand church attendance, what it means to be a member of a church, until you understand salvation. You can't even understand how to walk away from certain sins and get victory over certain sins until you understand salvation. You can't even understand how to properly engage in a relationship with somebody else until you understand salvation. We can't understand anything biblically until we get that one down. Does that make sense? All right. Now let's jump into this. This is good. This is really good. Amen. And this first paragraph, it says the Bible student must be patient because the Christian life is a matter of growing. Amen. It's a matter of growing. And that's just what we were talking about. Line upon line. We're going to add a little bit here, a little bit there. Aren't you glad when you had a kid, your child was real small and couldn't talk yet? Couldn't talk back. Hey, if you can't talk, you can't talk back. Amen. They couldn't do anything. Aren't you glad that's how it starts? What was that, Mork and Mindy, that old sitcom? And that planet, that whatever his parents were from, he was from, it reversed it. And when they were born old, and then the age went down, and when they got real, real, real old, they were a baby. Do you guys remember that? And that's an old one. That's an old, old sitcom. Amen? Aren't you glad that's not how it works? Right? Well, yeah, we are. We don't really think of it that way, but you probably should. There's a reason why things are like they are. And God likens that whole birthing of a child, raising of a child, to the growth process of a Christian. Amen? And so we're going to grow. And go ahead, someone can read Colossians 1:10, so you can find that. And then someone can read that 2 Peter 3:18, and then 1 Peter 2:2. You have the first one? Colossians 1:10.
That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Amen. Being fruitful, increasing, just that process, growing. Who has 2 Peter 3:18? Yes, Kyle Thomas.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. We're growing. It's a growing process. Amen. And then 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. You got it? Antoine, go ahead.
No more baby desires to sound milk with a word that you might grow to.
Amen. Amen. So as a newborn babe desires that sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So that's the Bible, right? We desire it. We take it in and then we grow by it. It's by the word we grow. If that baby is not drinking that milk, it ain't growing. And if a Christian's not drinking the word, they're not growing. Amen. And so it's a process. Now let's turn over to Titus 2. Everybody turn over to Titus 2. Titus chapter number 2. This is not, I don't believe that's there in your book or on your page. But here in Titus chapter number 2, we do find something in this text which really shows the need for patience. So we're going to start talking about patience. Do you guys have a book or a page? No? In this particular chapter, let's go ahead and we'll have someone read. Actually, I wanted to read chapter 2. Let's see here. Yeah, verses 1 through 8. Anybody? Kyle Thomas, go ahead. We're in Titus 2, 1 through 8.
So speak thou of things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you.
Amen. Now, in this passage, what we have is we have a bunch of different groups addressed. We have the aged woman, we have the younger woman, we have the aged men, we have the younger men. We have really every group. We have, and even a servant ultimately is mentioned as well, beginning in verse number 9, which we didn't read, but all these different groups, all these different people are mentioned. And then with each person, with each group, you have the various things that are to be taught, which means these are various things that are to be learned. And if the aged are teaching them, that means they've already been taught by somebody. When they were younger, they were taught by someone that was aged. And aged in our text, aged man, aged woman, what that's referring to is one who's been taught. So they're aged in maturity. It doesn't necessarily mean your physical age, right? Physical age doesn't always correlate to maturity. There's a lot of 60-year-old men that are pretty immature, yeah. Right? And same probably can be said of women, but I know that well on the men's side. So, but the point is that this is talking about a spiritual level. Now, when we look at these lists, what we find is some people may be able to check off one or two or whatever, but the goal is that we become sound in faith in all these areas. And the only way that happens is to be patient and to be persistent. And that's what this number 9 here in our book is saying. That in order for you to be a good Bible student, you're going to have to be patient and you're going to have to be persistent. You're not, if you're a young lady and you're just having kids or whatever, you're not going to have the wisdom of a woman that has raised, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 kids up through year 18. Do you see what I'm saying? There's things that as a parent, as a young woman, you're not going to really know yet. And then as you grow in those things, hopefully receiving good counsel and applying things and staying faithful, as you grow, about the time you're really good at being a parent, you don't have to be a parent of young kids anymore. And you're thinking, wow, I wish I would have got that knowledge way, but that just doesn't work that way. See what I'm saying? The same thing's true for a husband and for a father. Same thing's true in marriage, right? On and on and on is that we start off, we like to think we know something, but we're really immature. And if we'll just stay patient and if we'll stay persistent concerning the scriptures and we'll keep applying the word of God to our lives, to our marriages, to our friendships, to the raising of children, to our job, to everything, right? To the house, right? If we'll just stay patient and not try to you know, get out in front of God, not fall behind. Just stay patient, right? If you'll just do what's right patiently, then in time, before you know it, you'll become that aged one who's now teaching the younger. Do you see that? And that's how it works. And someone say, well, I don't, it's going to take so long. It happens quicker than you think. It happens a whole lot quicker than you think. I'll tell you what takes long. Failure takes long. We can't afford failure, right? Because it just robs us of everything. And one step forward, you heard it, two steps back. By the way, if you're going one step forward, two steps back, that ain't good because you're losing ground. Amen? You might take two steps forward, but you better not take any more than one step back, and you don't even want that. Sometimes there is a little bit of ebb and flow to things. But we want to keep making that forward progress. But then look, if you will, at verse number seven. Verse number six, young men. Young men are easy to pick on, right? Because young men are strong, but sometimes they're not all that mature. They do some foolish things, right? Think they're stronger than they are. They hurt themselves, you know, do things that are dangerous, and on and on and on and on and on. Young men, that's just the way it is, typically. Now, in our feminized society, it's not always the case, but I hope for you it is the case. Amen. Nonetheless, in verse number six, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Boy, there's something needed for young men, amen, to think soberly, to not be intoxicated with life, right? But to think, be real, think, have some gravity to you, be down to earth. Think soberly the reality of what's coming. In all things, watch this, showing thyself a, what is that? Pattern of good works. A pattern of good works. That's what we're looking for really for all of us, is patience, persistence, showing a pattern of good works. We used to have an old saying when I worked ATA that one undoes like 10 hero type things, right? You could be like the hero. I mean, I did great at these 10 things. I mean, I got that plane out. I fixed this. I did that. And then have this one big old uh-oh, man, it wipes out those 10. And when people think of you, they don't think about those 10 great things you did. They think about that one thing you did, which really messed things up, right? How many are happy that that's the way it is? Anybody like that? Say, I'm so glad that's the way it is. No, but how many would agree that's the way it is? Yeah, it's just the way it is. So we could fight the reality of it and get upset because that's the way it is. What do you mean? All I did was one thing wrong. What about all this other good stuff? It doesn't count. I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is, right? And you, like I said, we don't like it. We wish we'd get a pass so we can mess up really big here because we did a bunch of good stuff. It just doesn't work that way, right? And so as you get older and you realize that, you just understand how important things are, and you just got to keep those big mess-ups from happening. Best you can. At least minimize the mess-up so it's not real big, right? I remember one of our guys, we were running an engine, and he put it in reverse on the tarmac. We had a stand under it, And he put it in reverse. He shouldn't have put it in reverse. It was a 727, it's a clamshell, and it totally blocked the whole, anyway. What it did was, it blew all the stuff from that lift right out in front of the engine, and then you know what happens next, because that engine's, it's sucking air. It sucked all that stuff. The big thing that destroyed it was it sucked a rag through the engine. And it's a 27,000-pound thrust engine, JT8, Pratt & Whitney. You would think that it could handle a rag. Million-dollar problem. Million-dollar issue. That was $1 million it cost the company. $1 million, the guy on my crew. My crew. I'm his lead. And this guy was a worker. I mean, he could fix airplanes. And so I went to bat for him with the company, and I said, look, I said, you can't make him an example. You can't. I need him. Amen. For what you give me to do, I need this guy. Please do not make him an example. And so ultimately he got a couple days off. They let him come back, and it was more of a slap on the wrist. But again, we got to be really careful in life, because just because you're good, just because you're able to do a lot of things, doesn't mean you're not also prone to that one mess up. And when that one mess up happens, I'm telling you, it could sideline you and sideline you big. And so we got to be careful. And we want to maintain a pattern of good works. A pattern of good works. Immature people do not get that concept, because they do not want it to be so. And we've already agreed, neither do I. But we also agree that's just the way it is. Does that make sense? That's why I must have a pattern. Yes?
Immature people do a good thing and try to ride it for a long time.
That's right. That's right. That's right. They try to ride. Well, come on. Cut me a break. I did this good. That was like a week ago. I mean, we've slept 7 times now since then. That one thing you did good, we all have done forgot about that. We want a pattern of good works. Did you have your hand up?
Yeah. I think if people was honest with themselves, they would all realize that they all have these times where they mess up big, and you could either go one way or the other with it, and you can be the downfall of it and go farther down, or you could
That's right. So you just described that crossroads that happens when you have a big mess up. And if you have humility and you actually are mature, you realize, yeah, I messed up. And you seek to make it right. And you realize that it's going to affect you, and you're okay with that. But someone that's immature, they get upset. They get upset because you're going to make that something that's going to cause them problems. You're upset because you're holding their feet to the fire. That's immaturity, right? And so it's strange. The people that are able to handle those mess ups are the mature ones. The people that can't are the immature ones, and they're the ones that really need to be able to handle it. And so this is Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. That's, if you read that book with this in mind, you, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. This is why, because he's seeing all these things. And he's like, man, it doesn't make sense that it's this way. But it is this way. Amen? So very good, though. So those of us that are hopefully have some maturity to us, we can counsel the young ones that really mess up and say, you know what? Yeah, it was a big problem. And I'll help you now work through it. I'll help you make it through it. But you're going to have some humility here, and you're going to have to realize that we can't keep this up. We can't keep a pattern of bad works up, because a pattern of bad works, people will only bear with you so long, and at some point they're going to say, you know what, I'm not messing with you anymore. Go out there and fail on your own, but you're not dragging me down with you. Amen. Woohoo! We're talking about a pattern of good works, and that's what this text shows. All right, let's go ahead and jump over to, go to 1 Timothy 3:14. There's a lot of good stuff in this whole chapter. We're not going to get through it all. I hope that you read that on your own. But we are going to look at, real quick, 2 Timothy 3:14. Whoever has that, let's see, read that one, 2 Timothy 3:14.
2 Timothy or 1?
2. Kyle Thomas.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Right. Continue in the things which you've learned. So remember, I started out by saying line upon line, precept upon precept. What you've learned becomes a building block to what you will learn. Right? We're going to add to our faith. And that's how it works. So in actually in Ephesians chapter 1, it gives us a pattern for salvation. And our pattern for salvation and how things work in that is the fact that we hear the word of God. We hear the truth. Right? And then we trust it to be true. Right? And then that truth is going to get proved in our lives. And it's going to get proved in our life through circumstance. Right? So we hear it, we trust it, then the question is, do you really believe it? Because if you believe it, what are you going to do? You're going to act on it. If you've heard it, you say, yeah, sounds good to me. Okay, know this, a trying is coming. And that trial is going to show you whether or not you really believe it or not. This is true. It's fun for kids because kids get raised in homes, oftentimes shelter, which is great, in a home that is halfway successful because the parents are serving the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. But at some point, everything they say that they believe to be true is going to get tested, right? And they're going to have to be faithful. Now, you might say, I can't believe my kid's doing this. No, stop. Stop crying about it. It's just showing you what they really believe. How can we help somebody unless we know what they really believe? You want to know what somebody really believes? Don't listen to what they're saying. You can tell me what you believe all you want. I really don't care what you say. I'm more interested in what you do. That's what James teaches, James chapter 3. He says, you can tell me what you believe all day long, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what I believe. Does that make sense? We hear it. We say, yeah, I like it. I believe that. Okay. Testing time's coming. Do you really believe it? We'll see based on what you do. And by the way, if you follow that truth, now it becomes a building block. Now I can add to it. And then I'll grow some more. And every time I do that, I'm growing in maturity. And it takes time. Does that make sense? And this is how the Christian life works. And we don't need to go there for sake of time, but you can write down 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. And in this particular passage, Paul is talking about running a race. And can I say, the Christian life is not a quick sprint. It is a marathon. It is a long race. Anybody here ever run like a long race, like 10 miles or above? Anybody? You have? Okay. You got to approach that thing right, don't you? You have to practice. You have to work up your endurance.
Exactly.
My boss, when I was in tech services, Mike Chalmers got into running. And he was so funny because anybody with a technical mind really gets into things technically. And I mean, he was coming back and he would tell us about socks. I never knew there were so many different types of socks out there. And he was talking about how even the socks are important, right? Because he was running marathons. I mean, he was getting up into the plus 20 range. And if the socks aren't right, then the socks will hold moisture and your feet will develop blisters and ultimately, anyway, it's bad. But if you can get it right, socks that actually wick that stuff away and hold that moisture on the outside and all that. And on and on and on. The shoes, it was ridiculous what he spent on shoes. What he spent on shoes, right? Which we don't need if we're just running a quick sprint. But you know what? You do need it if you're running a marathon. Can I say there's a lot of things in a Christian life? If all you're doing is running a quick sprint, sure, you can get away with a lot of things. But if you're running a marathon, now every little detail of everything matters. Every little detail of your life matters if you're in it for the long haul and if you want to grow like this passage is talking about. But to be a good Bible student, that's what it's going to take. Line upon line, precept upon precept, hear a little, there a little. It's a building block. I'm going to hear the truth. I'm going to accept or reject it, and then it's going to get proved. Am I going to act upon it or not? If I don't act upon it, back to the drawing board. That block did not get laid in my building. Make sense? I heard the truth. I like it. Man, I got a block. Okay, God's going to He's going to try me on this. Can I put this block in my building? I don't know. Let's see. We got this trial coming up. Am I going to follow the word of God or go back to something else I once knew or follow the world or follow someone else's advice? Am I going to search Facebook to find out the best, top 10 things on how to do this, that, or the other instead of just following the word of God? You're going to be challenged, right? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Am I going to seek God in his opinion? Or am I going to lean to my own understanding? Right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If you'll live that way, I'm telling you, you'll be putting blocks in your house all the time, and you'll be growing like crazy. But if you don't do that, you're just going to be a baby Christian the rest of your life. Yes, John.
I know we're about out of time, but yep. Verse 14 that we were looking at.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There are 3 points here. It says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So that's the first thing. You have to learn them.
Learn them.
Secondly, it says, and has been assured of, so you have to prove them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to practice them, or like you were talking earlier about David and his armor.
Yep.
I believe, and he couldn't wear Saul's armor. It wasn't proven.
Hey, tell him what that means.
And then thirdly, it says here, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You have to know your sources.
Yeah.
And I've noticed this a lot recently in the news. There's so much stuff that people are saying, and news sources are putting out, and then they're having to retract it because it was all false. The sources were bad.
Yeah, that's good. And continue in them. The first, no doubt, that first part. Continue in those things. So know your source, know the truth. We're going to actually deal with that a little bit in Sunday morning hour here next service. But because Jesus is going to be challenged on his authority, and that's very interesting. But this is how you grow. And if you have this in mind when you approach the Bible for study, then you know that whatever you're learning is going to be tried. Somehow, some way in life, if you're learning it, it's going to get tried. And then we need to pass that trial by applying what we've learned. And if we'll do that, then we'll grow. That's how we grow. That's the process of growth. So good stuff. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this lesson. And help us, Lord, as we engage in Bible study to truly desire not just to hear the truth, not just to on the onset say we believe it, but Lord, help us to understand the trial's coming and the true test to our understanding here and our willingness to receive the word is whether or not we'll apply it then to our lives. And if we'll do that, then that becomes like a little building block in our life that then that could be laid and then other truth can be built on top of it. Thank you, Father, for this time together. I pray that each person here would truly hunger and thirst after righteousness and to know thy truth, which will make them free. We love you. We thank you. Help us now with the rest of this morning and in throughout the evening as we get into youth night and all that. Bless this day for thy sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.